What's up, everybody? Welcome to Neighborly Discourse with Billy and Steve.
What's up, what's up?
I am Billy.
And I'm Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Dude, you know what scares me?
Scary movie. Ghosts.
New England Patriots.
Have you been talking to my dad?
No.
I'm going to cut this out right now. I'm not even going to have him. Listen. I'm not even going to have him listen to this.
Please talk to me. Listen, you're the expert.
You are the expert.
So please tell me what I'm missing.
Every single time anything football comes up.
Right.
Pay attention to the Patriots. Titans number one. I'm not worried about the Bills. You know, this is what Patriots do. They start slow. They work through all the kings. When they get to the end of the season, they're ready to go.
This is your dad speaking.
Yeah. I know that too.
Okay, but is he a Patriots fan?
He's a Belichick fan, I believe, and kind of how overall they do business. Okay. Miami will always be bad because they're like the Jets. They're like San Diego. They're like those teams.
Right.
They have poor ownership all the way from top to bottom. The organization is bad.
Okay.
Perennial winners, Pittsburgh, organization top to bottom is good. New England, top to bottom, organization is good.
Okay, listen, I got to push back on that narrative a second because up until like 2005, right around that time.
Are you going to validate my point? Up until when? Ross took over and they've been bad. So thank you, Steve, for listening to the show. Poor ownership from top to bottom.
You think Ross is a bad owner?
I don't know how you can.
You're saying Dallas. Proof is in the pudding.
Look at
is
Dallas.
That, is that what you're saying?
100%. Look at Dallas.
Okay.
They're right now top two in the NFC.
Okay.
Nobody fears Dallas. They're going to find a way to screw it up. Jerry Jones is going to do something to ruin that team. When Dak was out.
But you see what you just said about Jerry Jones? When have Ross ever inserted himself in the operation?
He got a bad coach, paid for a bad quarterback. They don't know what they're doing.
Hold on. So you don't like Flores as a coach?
No.
Really?
I'm gonna quote something from my dad as he's probably, when he hears this, yelling back, he's done nothing for New England. There's a clip against, I believe it's the game tonight, Atlanta in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
They're making their comeback. They're down 28-3.
Right. I remember that game.
Flores, the quote-unquote defensive coordinator, is seen just walking by. And Belichick is there with the defense, telling them what to do, how to do. There's multiple instances where he is coaching the defense.
Okay.
But then we're told,
You mean Belichick is coaching
the
defense,
not
right?
Flores. Flores is just a guy.
But Flores was never the defensive coordinator. You know that, right?
He was labeled as, yes, the top – when he was a coordinator for a year or two.
When Patricia left, they never replaced Patricia with –
Flores. Yes, he was.
No.
He was – look it up.
No, I know for a fact he never had the title defensive coordinator. He might have been like the top assistant, but he was never the defensive coordinator.
They put him as – he ran the defense in New England. Look how good the defense was. But that's what they say.
There's a difference between – who said that?
The news. That's all they talk about. We got a good guy from – New England, the defense.
Listen, I know what I'm saying is true for a couple of reasons. One, because I follow the Dolphins. Two, because I was curious as to why was he never made a defensive coordinator. I was not concerned, but curious as to why.
Yeah.
Right? So that's all I can say about that. I know he was never the defensive coordinator. But, and going back to your point about Belichick, listen, you can... I remember back in the Giants, when he was with the Giants, he always coached the defense. He always, like, pulled them to the side.
Well, that's my point.
And
so
coaching during
when
the game.
When they're taught, this guy ran the defense for, or called, so here he was the linebacker's coach.
Right.
Called the defense for the Patriots.
Called it. Like, called the plays.
Yeah, so.
But listen.
So that's my point. So you were sold a bunch of crap, so you should be more upset. Because all you're being told was, oh, this guy ran with Belichick. He did the defense. He called the plays. He had nothing to do with it.
Listen, here's what I can tell you. In terms of proof is in the pudding, we have a heck of a defense. We've had
against Buffalo scored 35-26. So that means nothing.
Listen, the second game that in your 10 minutes with Billy, you came out and saying like the Dolphins came out playing that they were like it was a Super Bowl.
Exactly. But Buffalo put up 26.
I'm not discounting the 26. Look, there are teams. You know, like, there are teams that they're going to score what they're going to score, right?
Yeah. A good defense, though, would stop that.
Even with a good defense.
Yes, 100%.
It's about efficiency. A good defense would affect efficiencies, which means that they'll still score, but if they are inefficient in their scoring, then you've done your job. So you can't weigh all games the same. It really is team specific. So what I would tell you is that from that game with the Buffalo Bills, it's changed. Their defense is like totally is like a different defense. And so, and I remember thinking about looking at the defense.
Which
now,
game of Buffalo? They've only played two games since then.
Yeah, all three games.
Houston, who's horrible.
All three games.
Houston, who's horrible.
Okay.
And
Baltimore is horrible too. You're gonna tell
you know me my that? Thoughts on Baltimore. Miami's got speed. Speed stops a running quarterback 9 out of 10 times. So I'm not listen. Miami's defense is good against bad teams.
It was scheme. It wasn't
exactly
speed. It was scheme.
Hey,
but that's what a coach does.
The quarterback's not going to throw the ball. He's going to run
that's
it.
What a
play
coach,
the outsides, guys.
That's what a coach does.
I can do that, Steve. What? I'm not a coach.
Listen, it's
Lamar Jackson's not going to throw
no,
it.
No,
you get to the left. You get to the right. Contain him. Make him throw. They contained him.
Lamar
and they lost.
Lamar Jackson will throw the ball. He's not. He's not. He's not against.
He will
throwing
not
the ball.
Throw it good.
I don't know.
I do know.
You
I'm
want,
telling you,
you
he
don't
will
want
not
to give
throw
me,
it well.
You gave me the stats about Lamar Jackson and the other quarterback, Hibbert. Guy, and you said their stats are pretty much the same.
Numbers lie, and that was proving my point. Which is exactly what I said. Numbers lie. The stats across the board. So just the other day, I think it was – what game was it?
With
was
who?
It was
– Which game? Which team?
I can't remember who it was. The quarterback just came back.
Wilson. Was it Seattle? Wilson?
Maybe it was.
Okay.
It was somebody. He just came back, threw like a bubble screen.
Okay.
Oh, man, look at that throw. The quarterback's back. He threw the ball 1 yard behind the line of scrimmage. The guy ran it like 40 yards for
right.
a first down.
Right.
So – that's my point. That's a 40-yard pass.
Okay.
He threw it -1 yard. So the player, the receiver, did 41 yards of work.
Right.
So when I say –
but all the accolades goes to the quarterback.
Yeah. So when you see these numbers, look at this. Listen, I'm not saying he's bad, but he is. You can't compare him to a top quarterback, Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson, right. I can't speak to Lamar Jackson. I can speak to Flores only from this perspective.
Yes.
The last time the Dolphins had a defense that I respected was when Jimmy Johnson was the head coach.
Yeah, the last time Miami had a good head coach.
Right. Well, I'm just talking about from the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Where I can say there was a demonstrably difference in how we played defense.
Yes.
Right? And so now I see it again. So my hopes were that, okay, well.
Steve, you've seen it for two games against really
no,
bad team.
No, 2 years. What, this is 3 years. In fact.
Steve, they lost seven straight games. How is it a good defense?
I was disappointed with the. Remember, I don't watch any football, right?
But I'm telling you, how is a good defense losing seven straight games?
I can't understand what happened. But I don't understand.
Poor offense, for sure.
Well, for sure. So let me comment on that. If the offense continues to put you in precarious situations, short yardage situations where to score a touchdown, you only need 30 yards to get there.
Yes.
You
defense
put,
to me is doing its job.
Right. And if defense is always constantly on the field, but because I didn't watch any of the games, I can't give you any analysis on it. You know, just all I can tell you is that I saw the Thursday night game, I saw the game on Sunday, and then I heard about, you know, the Buffalo game through you, your podcast. So it was like, okay. So the defense is not gone, you know. So the defense
is
still there.
It is the better part of their team,
right? So
for sure.
And now consider this in terms of from an offensive standpoint. Again, I don't watch them, so I can't speak to it. I saw Tua in Alabama. I mean, this dude.
Steve.
Hold on, but I know. You're gonna say you can't talk because you know you're talking about elite players playing against subpar players. I understand, but I watched them. I watched them in the championship games. I watched them in the playoffs. So they're playing good teams.
No, they're not.
Okay, but. Can I just say this? Let me just
go
finish
for it.
This
yes,
okay.
Yes.
I watched him play, and I was like, "Wow, this is a heck of a quarterback, right?" He's playing at a high level. He seems like he understands the game. He can read the defense. I was very impressed.
You're talking about in the college.
In
right?
college, in college, okay. Yeah, in college. And then he got hurt. In fact, remember this. I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if you watch college ball.
I do not.
Okay. He got inserted into the starting, not even the starting lineup. In the second half of the championship game, they sat. Your boy at Philadelphia, what's his name? Hurts? Is that his name? Okay. They sat Hurts and put – Hurts wasn't even Hurts. You know what I'm saying? The game was just so close that he made a decision, Hurts, you're out, Tua, you're in.
Yeah.
And he won the championship and wrecked it the next year. I mean, just went off the next year.
And so now you don't watch football, but who would you rather have, Justin Herbert or Tua?
I would assume that we want to have Herbert.
Yeah,
But listen, but I have a small sample size when it comes to Tua because he was hurt. He came back hurt last year. So he wasn't at full speed. And then he got hurt this year. So I don't have a full sample size of Tua. But what I will tell you is that in Sunday's game, he did the same thing that happened to Hurts in Alabama happened to Brissett. You know, where he says, Brissett, you're out. Tua, you're in. Yeah. You know? And because I watched the whole game, I saw a difference in how the offense moved. So I'm just hopeful that we didn't get a bust in Tua. I'm hopeful that
I don't think Tua is going to be a bust, but he is not who people think.
But listen,
he is.
Here's another thing this is the last thing I say on this. I talk way more than I wanted to. I wanted to talk about the Patriots, but I got to say, good. But you offended me when you talked about the Dolphins.
Well, no, because you're proving my point. But Matt Jones went to Alabama.
But hold on. I want to say something real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Our offensive line, I don't even understand how we even call it an offensive line. We can't run the ball two freaking yards, man. It's embarrassing.
You don't have a good running back. Buffalo's the same way. So they have no run game. Then you look at Cleveland.
Right.
You have Hunt. You have Chubb. They both get hurt. You get the guy from the XFL, Dearness Johnson. He gets 150 total yards the other day. He ran for 60 on the opening drive.
Which team?
For the Browns.
Okay.
Then you have, again, with Baltimore.
Hold on. But you said the Browns. Why are you bringing the Browns into this?
Because we're talking about line.
So you're saying the Browns don't have a line?
No, they do.
Okay, so.
And they have good running backs. So with their third string guy, got 150 yards the other day.
Okay.
So they have a good line where a decent running back would do well. A great running back shines.
Right.
Miami has an okay line and no running back.
I don't even think we have an okay line. I mean, it's so bad. It's embarrassing. Like every time,
Buffalo can't run the ball.
Every time I haven't watched Buffalo, but I will tell you this. Every time they go to run the ball, I cringe. Like the two days.
Well, again, they don't have a good running back, and the line isn't great either. So you have a combination of just bad.
It is bad. It's a bad. I go as far as saying we have a bad offensive line. I'll doubt that anyone in our offensive line ranks in the top 10.
Oh, probably not. There's no way.
It's terrible.
Because just alone, you have Baltimore, where the quarterback gets 100 yards rushing.
Right.
Devontae Freeman, who's been out of the league for the last couple of years, he's
right.
back.
Like
he's
an all-star.
Getting.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
They have a good line. Dallas. Elliott gets yardage. Their backup, Pollard, they share time. He gets yardage.
Right.
Look at now Tennessee. Henry's out. They've got some guy, Foreman, who had like 60 yards last week, 70 yards, plus Adrian Peterson running.
Right.
Some teams have good lines with good running backs.
So my knock on Flores and the GM, for that matter, is that, dude, it's 3 years, and I haven't seen an improvement on our offensive line. That's concerning to me. That's
you haven't
very,
seen
very
an improvement on the
me.
Team. The team itself only been 2 years with Tua.
The defense, well, first of all.
And I'll be the first one to defend Tua. He had zero training camp last year.
So,
and every time.
And this year, and he's only played two games. He only played three games.
Well, that's on him for being made of glass.
Hold on a second. So he's only played in three games, and then the three games he played in, they won. So this is.
He played bad teams, though, but I get it.
I mean, the first team was New England, right?
New England, which isn't good.
And then we beat Baltimore last week, right?
I mean, listen, I get it, but Baltimore is not good.
No, so what
in
I'm
my
saying,
opinion,
what I'm saying to you is that if Tua is good, and that's a big if, okay? I'm just telling you, I think it's a big if. But if Tua is good, we have the makings of a good team because we have half the team is serviceable, at least a B, right? Our defense is at least a B.
No, your
right?
defense, yeah, that's the strongest
okay.
part of the team.
So if Tua is good. And listen, and the guy Waddle from Alabama, I'm like, oh my goodness, this guy's a baller. How come they don't get the ball in his hands more? I mean, he's a baller. But anyway, I digress. If Tua's good, you got Waddle, you know what I'm saying? Maybe a couple of other receivers, I don't know. But I'm just saying, if he's good, now we can say we have the makings of a team. But if Tua's a bust, then, dude, all is lost as far as I'm concerned.
No, Tua needs a team. He's not going to elevate a team. That's not his game. He's no Peyton Manning.
Listen,
not going to happen.
The small sample size of this year alone, he played three games, he won three games. That's all I can say. That's all I have to go on, just by box scores. He played three games, he won three games.
Box scores don't show you anything.
I watched two games. I watched two games, and I'm telling you, there's a difference. When he's in the game versus Brissett,
Well, look at the backup. The backup isn't good. Brissett is a semi-good backup, even.
Right.
You know? Miami needs a overhaul.
Right.
Tua is not.
Overhaul. That's big words, man.
Their offense is horrible.
Yes, I agree. That's what I'm
their defense is okay, depending on who they play.
I'm copping to that. Our offense sucks, specifically our offensive line. And I think that's the reason why they haven't invested it in a running back, because they know that even if I get you a good running back, our offensive line sucks so much they can't do anything. But I want to change subjects because I really want to talk about the Patriots, but forget about it. But I can tell you this.
No, I'll tell you like this. Miami has the wrong Alabama quarterback. Mac Jones has played X amount of games. They're slowly bringing so proves the point in the beginning.
Okay.
Organization. But you have to listen now.
How could you say that? You haven't even seen Tua play.
He's played a full year longer than Mac Jones is a rookie. Okay? You can't tell me last year, training camp or not, injury or not, he has 16 more NFL games than Mac Jones. Just don't even start. Have no argument.
I'm going to ask one question. Did Mac Jones come into a better offense than Tua did? That's yes or no?
I would say even.
Even a push?
Yes.
Really?
Steve, we talked about it last time with Cam Newton. They couldn't do anything with that team last year. They barely won 6 games. The exact same people are on that offense, minus the quarterback. You have the wrong Alabama quarterback.
Okay, I'm going to change subjects.
No, you can't. Don't do that. You can't be a liberal when you get beat in the argument. You want to stop talking?
No. I have no more.
To talk about the Patriots.
I gave you the most. I gave you all I had.
All right, talk about the Patriots. They are a better organization, top to bottom, where younger players can develop better. They know what they're doing from top to bottom. Owner stays out of the way. He signs the checks, and that's it.
Right.
Miami doesn't have that. Listen, Dallas doesn't have that.
You say that. When has Ross? I don't ever remember Ross even speaking about the team. Why do you're disparaging Ross? I'm like, I don't think Ross.
The money he spends on the people he has,
right,
is poorly used. The people he has, to your point a few seconds ago, the GM is not good. He was there when they were crappy for the last 5-6 years, something like that. Why did he stay on? Poor investment, bad deal, bad owner. The coach, he's not that good. He's not that good. Then you go, and he had a say in getting Tua. The jury's out on Tua, we'll say. So you have to just own. Kraft in New England, he's not saying who to draft. He is doing whatever, wherever. Team, do your thing. His job is to own and sit in the skybox. Ross doesn't do that. He wants a say in some of this stuff. Now, he's better now than he used to be. Remember a while back, the orange carpet, we're selling parts of the team? Yeah. I mean, who does that?
The Williams sisters coming out.
Just close your mouth, sign the checks and be done.
Right.
Overall ownership.
No, but that was promotion. That was all about promotion. That was bringing the spirit back into the game.
If you have a good team, you don't need any promotion.
It speaks for itself.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Hey, I
dropped my phone.
How do you feel about, you know what Elon Musk is doing?
What?
Elon Musk.
No, what is he doing?
With the starships?
No.
Really? I'm surprised by that. Okay, so...
That's not my kind of alien stuff.
Well, listen, you want to get to the aliens, this is going to get you there. First of all, when you get a chance, look up Elon Musk's starship.
All right.
It looks like nothing that you've seen before in terms of... Like, when you think of going to the moon...
Take my phone up here.
Okay, I'll let you go.
No, go. I'll look it up.
When you look up... when you think of... going to the moon or, you know, whatever we do with outer space, you see this is a prototypical idea of a spacecraft, right?
Yeah, yes.
He's totally killed that. I mean, what he has looks very sleek, looks very futuristic.
Okay.
And he's at the point right now where he's going to start. So I think the whole last couple of years, he was testing out his rockets.
It looks like a giant bullet.
Well, yeah, but I mean, do you see it, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So he was testing out all his rockets. So now that he feels that his rockets are good, now he's going to actually start sending that ship into space. So next year, I think he said like he's probably got like half a dozen to a dozen launches that he's going to do.
Yeah.
And because in 2023, he wants to actually start sending people up there to orbit the Earth. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's cool. I think it's going to people like you and me are never going to get a chance to do it.
Well, never going to get a chance, but would you?
Maybe.
You would?
Maybe. I wouldn't be on the first one. I wouldn't be on the first 10.
Wow.
Maybe I would. But again, so like you look at what's Bezos doing? He's going up for like 7 seconds. You're seeing the blue change to black and coming back down.
Right.
I mean, if I had $28 million, I'm not going to spend it on that.
Well, if it was for free.
If it was for free, sure.
You would do that?
Yeah, man.
Hold on. Let's back up. I never asked you this question. Are you a rides guy? Like, would you go to a carnival and like do the...
No.
So you're not none of those things?
No.
Okay. But you would do this?
It's outer space. Because if let's say it works for a year, and then all of a sudden things go bad, right. you made it and came back. You are now back into a very select select company,
right.
of people who've seen outer space.
Okay,
and that can't be taken away from you. Now, if it becomes mainstream, like all the futuristic TV shows I watch,
right.
and everybody's got a spaceship in their hangar to shoot to the moon and back,
right?
I mean, no, you know, okay, cool,
right?
But if you're one of the select few, and then it goes haywire, hey man, you know, 100 people went to the moon, went to outer space, and all of humanity of all time, you're one of the 100.
Okay,
I might do that.
Okay, so,
for and me, I say might.
Listen, okay, so for me, zero chance, right? I mean, literally, it's gonna have to be gun to my head. I'm going to kill your family if you don't go for me to do something like that. I have no desire to do it whatsoever. However, well, and that's just going up, seeing black and coming back down.
Yeah.
But that's not what Musk is trying to do.
No, he's trying to orbit the Earth.
So that means
first you got to orbit the Earth, then you got to orbit the moon, then you got to get to Mars.
Right, but forget about that. Let's just
talk
about
that's his goal, though.
But let's talk about orbiting the Earth. Would you do that?
That'd be kind of cool.
Wow, man. I'm going to tell you, I'm shocked that you say yes, that you would do it.
So, fantastic Family Guy episode.
Okay.
Where they go to outer space.
Right.
And Peter puts on the gear. He shot outside for a spacewalk. You see the sun, the Earth, the planets behind him, you know, drawn up nice and pretty.
Right.
And he's like, oh, wow, this is so cool. I mean, I can't believe this. You know, all the stuff you would say about how breathtaking. And then, like, 3 seconds later, his phone comes up and he had the Boston Red Sox on. Oh, coach, it's a bum. He's checking his thing. He's tweeting.
He's out in outer space. And now he thinks about his Earth.
For 3 seconds, it was amazing. And then he went back to his normal everyday life.
Right, right.
So I wonder how true that is. Because as amazing as it is, could you stare at space for
2 hours?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
This is the same stuff you're going to be looking at.
Well, there's...
It's I've never seen it before. That's why it's amazing to me. But at the same time, is it if I've seen it once, I've seen it 100 times? Who knows?
I don't know, man. When you're so close to death, because to me, do you ever see this movie? It was Sandra Bullock was in it, and the guy from Ocean's 11.
No.
But you know, who am I talking about?
There's like 10 guys in Ocean's 11.
The main guy, the main character. Not Pitt, but the other guy.
Matt Damon, George Clooney.
George Clooney.
No.
So it was a movie with him and her, and they were out of space.
No.
Oh. They were out of space. They were, I can't remember. He was the astronaut. They went up there to fix some satellite or whatever. And it was a routine thing, right?
Maybe. I have an idea what you're talking about. Okay. But I do not know off the top of my head.
No. So a couple of things that happened that I learned from that movie, and I'm assuming that is true, is one, the speed that you're traveling is like.
Well, yeah, I think you have to have a certain miles per hour to break through the atmosphere, don't you?
Well, forget about that. I'm talking about they were up there. Now they're just orbiting. And the orbiting speed is super fast. I mean,
because I don't know how fast the Earth spins, but we're used to it because of gravity.
Right.
I don't know how it is of that. That's something to think about too.
So that right there was.
Well, if I have to throw up my face for a few hours before I get acclimated.
They were doing spacewalks. You were trying to say in the speed, and that's like. And so what brought the speed to life was something. Oh, there was a meteor shower or something like that, and a meteor, a small one. Hit a satellite, and that satellite broke into chunks, and then started heading towards their direction.
Oh, well.
And that was like, that's when you understood
maybe.
The speed.
I really don't know. Yeah,
and
I
was like, oh no.
I mean, because again, the Earth spins the whole time. Right, we're sitting here, so it could. Listen, I've never been, so I can't really speak on.
Well, if there was ever any hope for me to go out of space, seeing that movie just killed it. Like, I don't want to. You know, saying you could tell me and come back, and if you don't make it back, I pray for you.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, that's another thing. So if I knew. I had no family left, and I had a death sentence, you know, terminal cancer, whatever.
Right.
Shoot me up there. Let me go as far as I can go. And I want to see what I can see. And I may be the only one to ever see it,
right.
But let me go.
No return ticket.
Just no return. Like, that's it. I'm going to try to pack as much oxygen in there as I can.
No.
But shoot me off into space. Shoot me up. Shoot me down. Because who knows? I don't know which way I'm going. As people, we assume, you know, out is out. But in space, out is up, out is down, left. There's no bottom or top. So you can literally go anywhere. Don't stick me in a direction.
Right.
Shoot me out the hole there.
Right.
And let me go. You know, hopefully I have enough oxygen for a few weeks to see if I see anything. Who knows? Give me at least to another planet. I doubt it if it'll go that long.
It's so interesting.
Well, think of it like this. So we how I see it,
right,
the planets are all lined up next to each other, just spaced out. The sun's in the middle, and everything is parallel in a big loop around it.
Right.
All right? Send me down. Don't send me out to the planets. Send me up past the planets,
right,
or send me down.
Well, you know.
Because who knows what's there?
Well, they know it's there.
I don't know what's there.
Oh, well, okay.
And I'm going to have factual evidence that I see it. They're just guessing with their big telescope.
Okay. Well, we live inside of a system, right, which is millions of systems inside of our one galaxy. So we live in the solar system because of the sun, but there are other systems that have other stars that make it that system, right? So we're in one system within this cluster of systems that make up our Milky Way, our galaxy.
Yeah.
So up and down is just another system. Is the point I'm trying to make.
That's fine. Give me to another system, though. Okay. That's fine by me.
Okay, but it might be.
And what they see, because there's
millions of light years away.
That's fine. Send me out there. Let me see what happens. There's something I saw on one of my favorite shows, Ancient Aliens, where something hit. I don't know. I can't remember if it was a star, whatever it was, reflected. It was in the way of what they could see. But by the time it made it from there to here, and I could be way off, but like hundreds of years have passed, or something along those lines.
Right.
Something went by, and they don't know what it was because of how long it took to get here.
Right.
So who knows what they see when they see. Right. If I'm out there, I see it in real time, like, hey, man, that rock looks like it has somebody driving it. That's cool. And I'll keep it to myself because I can't tell anybody.
Oh, my goodness.
Hell yeah, man. If I had nobody left and I had nothing going on, shoot me out there. Let me go.
Oh, my goodness. One day.
That'd be awesome.
One day we're going to have an episode that I'm going to talk more about this.
About what? Aliens?
No. Well, yeah, we could talk about aliens, but, you know, just the concept of what you'll see when you're out of space.
You're going to see nothingness. I don't think you're going to see God out there, Steve.
That's
according to you, he's on the outside of the universe, so we're not going to get to the universe or through the universe.
According to me, he is the creator of it, so therefore he sits outside. But
yes,
because of his composition, he permeates through it as well. So he's outside of it, and yet he is one with it.
No, okay. And if I see him, I'll tell him you said hi.
Well,
I'll say, hey, get a big fan down there.
If you want to see him, we can see him right now.
Want to send him a shout out?
We can see him right now if you want to see him.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I see a tree. You're going to say he's in the trees?
No, that's interesting because there's scripture that says that mankind will be without excuse because there is so much evidence of God in all that you see that you're not, when the day comes and you stand before him, you're not going to be able to say, well, I didn't know. He's going to be like unacceptable because I've not only did I create you with me in mind, you know, with a desire to know me, with this divine hole in your heart, and you wanted to be filled, but I surrounded you with my glory. I surrounded you with things that just point to me, and you just refuse to accept it.
So it sounds like he's spiteful, like he's an egomaniac.
Not at all.
I gave you all my information, everything I'm hearing. You denied me. Now you're going to pay for it. That's what I hear when people talk.
Not at all.
So again, fantastic Family Guy episode where they flash back to the second coming of Jesus, and he is like 4'1".
Flashback or flash forward?
No, flashback. They have cutaways, flashbacks. They're talking a topic.
Right.
And then it's, boom, another. They set up what they're saying. They show a clip about it.
Okay.
So this is as crazy as the second coming of Jesus. And then they cut to the second coming of Jesus, and it's this little, you know, 4-foot guy about everybody else who's 5'6", and they're looking at him like, what's going on here, mumbling in the background. Well, people, you know, way back when, people were shorter 2,000 years ago, you know, let's not get carried away.
But listen, did they actually use the word second coming?
Probably, yeah.
The reason I'm saying that because 2,000 years ago would have been the initial coming.
So that's just you're here. There's no second. That's why people say, I met somebody twice. No, you meet somebody once, then you just happen to run into them again.
No, but the point I'm making to you is that there is a second coming. The Christians believe there is a second coming.
Yeah.
So when you say second coming, that's future tense, not past tense.
No, listen, who knows? Maybe they cut away to it. Maybe it wasn't the future.
So you don't get
specific on these things, Steve. You watch a show and you laugh. There's times where I always think about how to, Seth MacFarlane is an atheist for sure, and they reference the Bible and all the time in there. Like,
right,
it is a top conversation.
Listen, I have no idea who Seth MacFarlane is.
He's a fantastic guy.
Okay.
He
is he the creator of?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But they reference Jesus and all that stuff all the time.
Right.
So I'm like, man, I want to send it to Steve. But then, and you're not against anybody's thoughts on anything religious. Right. You can just give it to me. I'm going to tell you my take on it because right. that's what I believe. And this is someone else's, no problem.
Right.
But someone is, they always have something to do with Jesus. Like, it's hilarious.
Interesting.
It's a good, it's, but listen, it's a well-rounded show, man.
Is it hilarious from the, what's that guy, you showed me a clip, he just recently died, the comedian?
I don't know who that is.
No, you showed,
come on. Oh, Norm.
Norm, okay.
Norm's been on there a few times.
But no, but you showed me a clip where he was on a panel.
Oh, no, no. He's just, like, Seth MacFarlane is, like, there's one time, there's a cutaway
But listen, explain to the audience what I was setting up.
That Norm MacDonald, some guy was making jokes about, you know, being religious in L.A. and talking crap about the Bible and Christians. And right. people like, oh, I love your edginess. I love your this. And Norm was like, what's edgy about that? What's edgy about a hipster in L.A. being an atheist and bashing Christians? That's not edgy. That's cliche.
Right.
If you're going to talk about the Bible, if you're going to critique something, know it and then make fun of it. He had a problem with Alec Baldwin playing Trump because when you imitate someone, it's flattery. So if you're going to talk about the Bible, know it, and then make your jokes that way because you know what you're saying is you're joking off something you know, you admire, so you're bringing light to it in any way, shape, or form. So that's what he was talking about. Don't just go there and talk about something you know nothing about.
Right.
If you know about it, talk about it. Be clever in your joke, and people will understand it. But just to go up there and rail, oh, the Bible and the Christians, and who doesn't do that nowadays? Like, it's right. not edgy to be an atheist in L.A. Get over it. Right, and that right. was his point of it.
Right.
But no, Seth MacFarlane just clearly makes fun of it.
Okay. So so Norm would approve of how he does it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say yes. Okay. I mean, he's been on the show a bunch of times.
Okay.
And he was on his new show, The Orville. He was an active character on there as well. So they definitely get along.
So I need some counseling. And not counseling, but like, how do you say, like, I need my moment. I need a couple of minutes on the couch.
Okay, we're in chairs, but go for it, buddy. I got your back. So, I have a degree in psychology, so lay it on me.
You know how I feel. You know my position on dating, right? Have we talked about this
that
before?
That your kids are not allowed to date?
Okay,
it's
so you
a waste
know about
of
that.
Time?
Okay, so, man, it's like you said exact words that came out of my mouth before. Excellent.
Yes.
So you remember these things. Good. So, and do you remember a few months back, right when Sarah was graduating or maybe during the summer, she was like, okay.
A guy, like she was asking about a guy I like him. What's the point? I'm not, nothing can happen. I've got things to do.
No. This was different. She was okay. like, listen, I'm going to give you a for instance right now.
Yeah.
This is what she was saying to us. I'm going to give you a for instance right now. And I just want to know how you guys feel about this.
Yeah.
So let's say I have a friend. He goes away from college because, you know, I've had friends.
We did have this conversation. Yeah. Okay. I misremembered it, but yes.
Okay. And they come back into town and they want to do lunch.
Yeah. What
say
point?
You, right?
Yeah.
And do you remember what I said at that time?
I don't know, because I thought I said it right. She was like, what's the point? Nothing's in it. We're going to have lunch, but why? We're not going to go on a date. We're not going to hang out, waste my time?
Hold on, she said that? Or?
That's what I thought you said, she said.
No,
it seemed like a waste of time to do it.
No, she wanted to, her position, there is a waste of time thing, and I'll tell you about
okay.
that later.
Right.
But what she wanted was, she wanted approval in advance that if this was to happen, that she can go out with the guy.
Gotcha.
Right? Because,
okay.
like, listen, man, you know, lunch.
I do remember that, but okay. I do remember the overall, when it came to the topic, was why right. waste my time?
Well, Janice was totally against it, right? And I was like, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. And she was not happy with that. She wanted answers at that moment. That's like, Sarah, A, you don't even have a car. B, you know,
which I would see as a benefit scenario.
It's not happening right now. You know what I'm trying to say? So why are you making us have to think about this, right? So this was months ago. So this is, you know, what?
Nothing.
No, go ahead.
No, we'll get to it. We'll circle back around it at the end.
So anyway, now listen, just to make it clear why I have a problem with this. And listen, this is for my boys also. In fact, the last episode, I talked about Micah going out with this friend that came out. It was two girls and Micah.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no problems with that. But if it was just a girl and Micah, there would be an issue. Somehow we have to mitigate the situation because I would not allow for Micah to go out with a girl by himself, right? So anyway, and the reason behind that is because, man, people catch
your
feelings.
Your face over here, bro. You don't got to talk right into the microphone.
People can catch feelings. You know what I'm saying? You never know. You know.
Well, even, you can catch feelings with 2 people, 5 people, 10 people.
Fair enough, but you know, no one's gonna make. Well, most people aren't gonna make out in public. You know, like so. If there's 3 or 4 people,
you're out of touch, bro. I mean, you're 10 years over me, and I didn't like it when I was a kid. Okay. But there are some people who will.
No.
Your friend's sitting in the movie theater, you're watching the movie, and the two next to you are slobbing away.
No, no.
And you're like, what? Why am I here?
I'm hoping, number one, that I raise my kids so that
That's why I didn't say my comment before, because your kids may be well-rounded enough to not go through a rebellious phase.
Okay.
But being told no all the time,
and then
you're left on your own.
Listen, they're not being told no all the time.
Okay. So
hold on. But
hey, can we go on this date? Why are you bothering with this, Janet? And it's no. Well, guess what happens when it comes time to date and you're not around to talk sense.
Listen, okay, so
I think that kind of stuff.
Okay, fair enough. And listen,
so I'm very open with my kids, not like hippie open.
But I'm open as well, right? But there's just certain things, because look, my premise is this.
Okay, you said you're open, but when she said, "Why about going on this date? Why are you bothering with this?" That's not open. That's literally shutting down the conversation.
No. What I was saying was, I don't have an answer for you today.
Okay, there you go. Thank you for elaborating.
So why are we talking about this now? Yeah, can't we talk about
that
this?
That makes more sense. Yes.
So that's where I was coming with that. Okay. So because she was getting so intense about it, it's like you're getting angry about something that doesn't exist.
On a side note, does she ever not get intense on anything? Sorry, Sarah, if you're listening, but every time we talk, she is getting intense. She's becoming the Steve.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm just wondering.
Listen, I've said this before, that Sarah is, it took so long to recognize this.
Yeah.
Because for so long, Sarah was my girl. I mean, she was my baby girl.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember Janice was going through things with Sarah when she went through that age. And
is it that time already?
It's that time already.
So we started super early today. I'm thinking to myself, no alarm today? Oh, that's awesome, man. He learned.
Now, here's what's interesting. I don't hear the alarm when it goes off because I'm listening to the podcast.
Well, yeah, I've left it in.
And I don't hear it.
Yeah, leave it in.
Okay, so anyway, I digress. So going back to Janice, I remember when Sarah and Janice just started butting heads.
Yeah.
Right around 7, 8 years old, up until like 13 or something like that. It was a long period of time. And I remember looking at Janice saying, she's still my baby girl. You know, we're still thick as thieves. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my girl. All of a sudden, it's like, who is this woman? You know what I'm trying to say? All of a sudden, she turned on me. It's like, she's no longer my baby girl. It's like, what's going on? She's still my baby girl.
She's equal opportunist.
But she just was like on a rampage. It's like, what the, you know? And then
I see
all
that
of a
now
sudden.
With the 3-year-old.
With the 3-year-old, you see the change?
Yeah.
You don't.
No, no. Listen, I know it's coming, but I'm seeing it now at the age of 3.
Right.
When it gets to 13, 16, like, oh my God.
It's going to be off the chain.
She does. Like, when I lay the law down, she runs to mommy.
Right. When
mommy lets, she runs to me. She plays both sides. Well, I tell her, no, we're on the same team. You can't do this. But I would say I get more of the sweet side.
Right.
But she also gives it to her mom also. Amy also gets hugs and kisses too. But yeah, I don't know how. I see more on my benefit with her. But I know if she doesn't get her answer, equal opportunity, I'm tearing everybody down. That's her motto.
Off with the heads. Yes. I know. But I can tell you that I always wanted a daughter because I had a couple of friends who had daughters at young ages. Right?
Yeah.
They had kids when they were young and they were happened to be girls. And they all told me the kind of love and affection that you get from your daughter is off the charts.
Yeah.
It's so great. So I always wanted a daughter. And true to form, I had a daughter. It was off the charts. She was a very lovey-dovey with me. I mean, it was incredible. But then something happened. Right when she turned 11 or 12, it was like, so all the terror that she was putting Janice through up until that point, I started to get it at that age, right? And in that season of like, wow, she's changed on me. Like, I'm the enemy now.
Yeah.
She may have said something. And I remember we went to counseling, talking to different people, talking to different parents, like, what the heck, what do we do? But I remember she said something to Janice. I was in another room and I heard her say something to Janice, and I cringed because I realized, hold on, before I say this last statement, prior to this epiphany, I'm like, who is this girl? What happened to her? You know,
yeah.
I'm like, all of these things are going through my mind, you know, and I'm, you know, trying to discuss it, trying to get counseling, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, in a moment, she says something to Janice, and the light bulb went off, and I realized, oh my God, she's me. She is me. And not only is she me, but she is me to the nth degree.
Yeah.
Like I'm me and I'm more mild, I'm more calm, I'm more thoughtful, you know what I'm saying? Introspective. She's me with no filter. And I'm telling you, it is.
Yeah, no, I
it is hard sometimes, man.
No,
I'm
with you. And again, I'm at a 3-year-old level,
right?
Verse 18, 17, 18.
It, take all my counseling in now because when that day comes, man,
it's on its way. So, with the conversation last night was, Billy, you got to stop cussing. My dad sends a video.
Who said that?
Amy.
Okay.
My dad sends a video at the park yesterday. And he's like, Briella, say it again. And she's like, what the F are these effing dogs doing here? Get off the park. Get out of the playground.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know, I'm laughing. I'm like, someone better tell Nana to stop cussing, you know.
Right.
Because my mother does. She's like Briella, JC, Jesus Christ, all over the place.
Right.
I'm like, that's for my mom 100%. Right. You got to calm that down. Right. Why? Because it's just something.
Who says why?
Briella. Oh, Briella. Every time I ask her a question, it's why.
Right.
Is it because sometimes just certain things that's not good or not bad, just best not to say, could be taken the wrong way? That's one of them. Why? Because I told you why. The answer's, you're done. You got your answer. Go away. But she says, her phrase now is, oh my heck, all sugar.
But she says the real words?
No, she says that. All my heck, oh my heck, all sugar.
Right.
And I've been against saying all sugar. Whatever.
Right. No replacement words.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're teaching that this word is a bad word.
Okay.
Why are we all sugar? Like, that's how I look at it. And okay. I understand some people won't, but that's fine. Just say, don't say this word. That's all.
Right.
Just say, ugh. That's it.
Right.
Don't replace it with something else.
Okay.
So she does that. Liam, he doesn't cuss. I hear him on his game once in a while, and I'll open the door like, yo, come on, bro. Like, I'll let you listen to music. I'll let you watch these movies. The rule is simple. Don't say it.
Right.
If you say it, you know, hopefully it's around us and we can tell, yo, come on, like, be better than that.
Right.
Because around someone else, it's not going to be okay. People have different thoughts than how we have here. And Amy is getting more of the no profanity, no this. Not that it's a free reign in the house.
Does she swear?
And listen,
I'm not saying.
No. After I get reamed out for cussing, she goes on her tirade, but it's okay.
Okay.
So we're not going to get into that because that'll get me in trouble.
Okay.
But when, you know, and I tell Liam, say, listen, we don't run through the house like sailors.
Right.
I do at times, but I always tell him, if you say it, just, I've told you before many times on this podcast, if you cuss, don't cuss at someone. That's disrespectful.
Right.
If you bang your thumb with a hammer and you yell out whatever, I get it. But you're 12, so you gotta not do it because you can't do that. But if you do it, I get it. You're not gonna get in trouble for it. But don't cuss at someone. So every now and then I'll hear him on his video game and he'll get going. But I'm listening. I'm like, all right, what is he gonna say? But he won't do it.
Right.
But then every now and then I'll grab his phone, read like a Discord or something like that.
Right.
And there's a bunch of crazy stuff in there. He chimes in one time with one thing. I'm like, not the best. I'm gonna talk to him. Like, yo, don't do this again.
Right.
Because if somebody reads it, they're going to say, who's this kid? They're going to judge you based off of this.
Right.
So there are gives and takes. There are consequences for doing certain things. But now Amy is coming to where you have to stop cussing all the time. The kid, like Briella now is repeating it left and right. Liam never really had that.
Right.
He doesn't even do it now.
Right.
You know, I get angry. I get mad. I say crazy stuff. It may affect him internally, but he doesn't get mad. He doesn't get like, he doesn't yell at Briella. Watching me yell at him or Amy or just when I get mad, just yell.
Right.
He keeps it inside. So I tell myself, yo, you got to get under control. Don't let him turn into you. But now Amy is more of this, stop talking, stop watching this, don't watch this shit, don't say that. I'm like, hold on a second. Like, we're not changing now.
Right.
Now, the profanity, sure. I don't want my 3-year-old daughter running around, F this, F that. She gets it from me. I'm very aware of it. Even though Amy throws it around when she gets upset. I know she's at my parents' house. My sister cusses worse than all of us combined.
Really?
Oh, not even close.
How about Kibby?
No, he barely talks.
Okay.
No, he keeps his head. He keeps it, you know, he's got no time for it. She gets going. He's like, whatever you say.
Okay.
Keeps it moving.
Okay.
Keeps it moving.
Right.
But no, like people, it's no big deal. But when the kids start, then it starts taking inventory. Okay, who said it? Okay, I say the F word, so I know that got from me.
Right.
When she's like, Jesus Christ, and doing all this stuff,
that's
from Nana, you know? You know, other crazy random stuff could be from my sister, my dad, who knows, you know? So you got to start paying attention. Don't cuss in front of the kids. And I believe that to a certain extent. I'm going to try not to F-bomb around the house, But I literally walk through the house saying MFMF, like just out of nowhere. It just comes out of my mouth for like a string of like 3 seconds. It just happens. It's weird. And then I look around like, oh, anybody see me? Anybody, you know, I'm talking to myself here. But it's, you got to stop talking that way. You got to calm it down. So I'm aware that I am part of the reason why the little girl is in there cussing around.
Right.
I have to stop it. Because I am a do as I am not a do as I say, not as I do person. If I'm going to tell you don't cuss, I'm not going to do it either. If I'm going to tell you it's okay, it's okay. Like I'm trying to do that because.
Right, but you're kind of contradicting yourself because you've been telling Liam that, but you've never stopped.
Yeah, because Liam doesn't do it. So I don't have to tell him not to.
So you're saying.
I'll hear him in the bathroom.
But I'm just saying, if it became a problem for Liam, let's just say Briella wasn't in the picture.
Yeah.
But you were seeing that, okay, this was a problem for Liam. Then you would have had to.
Well, I would gauge the age. He's 12 now. Okay. All right, listen, you're getting a little hair on your chest. I get it. Let's pay attention, though. There's certain things you can and cannot do.
Right.
If you're 5 years old, 4 years old, running around, F this, F that, we're shutting it down, you know?
Right.
But he plays his music, his YouTube when he's in the bathtub or taking a shower or going to sleep at night. And I hear him sing the songs. Oh, whatever. He's singing along. I'm not going to get on you about that.
Right.
But when you take those words, because that's an art form, that's somebody writing something down for entertainment value. That's not real life. When you take that to real life, that's when we're going to have a problem.
Okay.
You know? And again, when my 3-year-old's running around, F this, F that, that's a problem. And that's a me problem because I know it comes from me. So who am I to say, don't do this without not trying it myself? So again, I'm making a very conscious effort to slow down the profanity or pick different words than the harsh ones, the ones that are really strike a chord with somebody. Because I do not want my baby running around. You know, it's all cute and funny when little kids do it. But then little kids, 3 and 4, turn to 7 and 8. 7 and 8 turns to 13, 14. So you have to stop it young because you can't expect to stop it at the teenage years.
But why?
Because it doesn't work that way.
What doesn't work that way?
Stopping in the teenage years.
No, I'm saying why stop it at all?
Because there's yes and no. There's time and place. Know the time, know the place. When you're on the football field, basketball court, and something happens, you want to yell it out, go for it.
So you're
when you're sitting at dinner with your grandma, you can't say it.
Because she doesn't have a filter, you just take it all away.
The certain words, yes. Because right now she doesn't understand what they mean. And even if I try to explain
it to her. Let me ask another question. Why do we even need filters?
I have no idea, because society says so.
But why?
Who knows, man? Someone somewhere said it.
I mean, would you be okay if, you know, this idea of time and place didn't exist? And we could just, like, ad nauseum just use profanity. And
wouldn't bother me at all. It's just words.
So.
Wouldn't bother me.
So, and if, because if that happened, then you wouldn't have to worry about this with Briella right now.
Kind of. And that, I mean, and
if
trust
we lived
me,
in a world like that.
Yeah. And trust me, I don't want my 3-year-old running around yelling and cussing. I don't want that.
Why?
Because it's not okay. Society says no. But
I'm saying why?
The point is this. I don't want to hear it from somebody else about her cussing. I don't want to hear the conversation from Amy about
let's just say, Amy, okay, so your dad sends the video and she's having a blast. She's laughing about it as well.
Yeah.
And so this is the kind of response that you get from Amy. Let's just say your circle.
If you're asking me if there was no consequences, would I care? No, I wouldn't care.
Okay.
It's just words.
So that means that even like, so what I'm trying to nail down is that you don't really have a problem with her cursing.
I do though. Because there's time and place and there's factors to it. But, it's not black and white.
Okay. But here's what I'm saying that if.
See, if I don't do the what ifs, man, we have this conversation
before. I'm saying like, I know like, okay, I told you about my trip in Vermont, right?
Yeah.
Where everybody swears. I'm talking about that. That's the national language. You know what I'm saying? It's profanity, you know?
I got you.
And if you were in that environment, you know, having your girl swearing wouldn't be a big deal. You know what I'm trying to say? Because everyone swears.
Again, society.
So my point is that if you were living there, would you even care?
Probably not. If that's what's going around.
Okay.
What I care about is people coming to me telling me, hey, she's cussing.
But if nobody was coming to you,
no, it wouldn't bother me.
Wouldn't bother you at all.
I don't want to have the conversation with Amy. I don't want to talk to my parents telling me that. I don't want someone saying, oh my God, your baby just cussed. Leave me alone.
But listen,
my problem is people coming to me about it. I don't want to be bothered.
But if your parents curse and Amy curses, the nerve of them to come and say anything to you about cursing.
Well, again, adults can pretty much do what they want. Kids have to follow suit. Kids have to follow by the rules. The rules are you don't cuss. That's what it is.
I will make this argument, and we don't have enough time to really divulge into it. But
that depends on what you say.
I'll make this argument that you're more liberal. You're more of a Democrat than you realize.
Not at all.
I know, but we're gonna have to flesh this out later on. But
I'm fully aware of my social leanings.
When you say not at all, what do you mean? I may have misunderstood when you said
I
not
am
at all.
Very aware that except for my money is mine,
right?
My country is mine. We picked everything else. I could not care less about.
So the point is. You agree with that statement?
Oh, yeah, 1,000%.
Oh, okay. I just
yeah.
I misunderstood.
No,
how you said
we've
it.
Talked about that. Okay. If you line both of us up and go down the list, you're going to think there's one very conservative person here and one crazy liberal. Where the two things that I care most about are, again, accountability, you know, my country, my money, myself, trumps everything else. I don't care about your marriage, your skin color, your gay, your this. Don't bother me with it.
Right.
If you want to run up and down in your street in the dress or yell and cuss, fine. So just don't include me.
So this is the point I want to make. And really, we have to talk about this at a different time where we can spend the whole show talking about this, deconstructing this. But your liberal thoughts, right, about everything else. So we know. So pretty much you have a couple of issues that really trump every other issue for you, right?
Yes.
And those couple of issues happen to be conservative issues, right? But almost, if there was 100 issues, you had these couple of issues and 98 of them are liberal and two of them are conservative.
Yes.
And those two trump the 98, right?
Two affect everybody. The rest only affect me.
Okay. So the argument I want to make, I'm just positing right now, and we'll talk about some other time, is that whether you realize it or not, the 98 other issues or the 98% of how you view life, that liberal side of you is directly impacting the conservative side of you. It's affecting your life, and you don't even realize it. Because the idea behind conservatism and liberal, right? And in fact,
liberal, they've screwed up the word liberal here.
But hold on.
Liberal is pretty much freedom. Just let me be free to control myself and leave me alone.
So listen, classical liberalism. Oh my goodness, I hate when I can't talk. It's like my mouth gets trapped. But classical liberalism really is the Republican Party. It's what we consider conservative right now.
Now it's more of a libertarian.
Well, even before we bring in libertarian, I'm just saying that from the classical sense, when you talk about liberal, it wasn't really a bad idea from a conservative perspective. It's just that it's morphed into what we have now. When you say liberal, it is so far left. You can't even recognize it as conservative, right? Okay. But the point I'm making to you is that, so because we understand really liberal is conservative, because we understand that, and we know that it's changed, I'm going to use conservative and liberal as they reside right now, as they are right now.
And to keep it going, though, like I think what you're saying is wrong.
Which is what?
Because you're conservative. Liberal means like leave my freedom to me, leave me alone. But you're conservative where if I'm some gay guy wanting to get married, it's my business, leave me alone. You're not, as long as you're left alone, you're okay with that. But you have different views on that. I have no views on it.
Classical liberalism saying I want the freedom to conserve. That's classical liberalism. And
I think I want the freedom for myself and leave me be.
Ultimately is I want the freedom to conserve. When you have a hierarchy that says that imposes their will on you and say that you don't have the freedom to do X, then you're saying that, okay, I want to conserve and you're telling me I can't conserve. We have a problem. So from a classical standpoint, that's where conservative is born out of.
Number one, willingness to respect or accept behavior or opinions different from one's own, openness to new ideas. Two.
What are you looking up?
Liberalism.
No, you can't look at that because it's changed. The word has changed. I said classical liberalism. That's a totally different ideology.
Here, political or social philosophy that promotes individual rights, civil liberties, democracy, and free enterprise. That's what it's supposed to mean. Now, the liberals we know do not subscribe to number two. They don't believe in civil liberties, democracy, and free enterprise. They want to control everything.
And so
that would be your classical liberal term is the second definition there.
Right.
And that's what I subscribe to.
Okay. But I'm going to tell you that the lack of, oh my goodness. So I'm going to say that, and this is the point I want to make. The liberal side of you, not the classical liberal side of you, but the liberal side of you is what's having the greatest impact on the conservative side of you. It actually has more of an impact on the conservative side of you and in your conservative world than the conservative side of you. And therefore I would say that the conservative side of you is in danger. All the things that you care about from the conservative perspective are in danger because of your liberal side. And I'll say this, and then I really want to finish my story with Sarah. But we'll come back to this in another episode.
Yeah, because I see what you're trying to say, but
listen, hear me.
I'm unshakable.
It's the liberal. I'm not trying to shake you. I just want to broaden your perspective on this. It's the liberal side that's saying we want more, we want more, we want more. That's insatiable. That brings us to the point where now, like I said, you can't even recognize a Democrat because they're not the Democrats of the 1960s.
Yeah,
or 1950s,
no, yeah, they're
right?
out there.
It's because of the liberal side. It's because they keep wanting to progress. They keep wanting to progress. They keep wanting to progress to the point where they're progressing past the point where conservatives, we don't have a place to stand. We don't have a place to sit. So I definitely want to talk about that at greater length because I think that there's room, I don't know, for mental ascent, for growth. When you think about it from that perspective, like, are these opinions that I hold, do they... are they putting me in a place where what I really hold true and dear are going to be affected? Like, am I going to lose something because of this other side of me? And I can dot some lines for you. I can draw some direct correlation.
You better come with some, because there's no way. They're two different things. My accountability is what won't change either one of them.
Let's talk about abortion.
What about it?
Abortion. There is a clear linear line from abortion to where we are right now with non-gender. A clear linear line.
Clear and to you, yes.
No, I'm saying, but even if it's clear to me and it's not clear to you, right? Just because it's not clear to you doesn't mean it's not clear. It just means that you don't see it.
But just because it's clear to you and not to me doesn't mean it's clear either.
But I'm saying...
If it's one, it has to be the other. It can't just be what benefits you and your thought.
On the contrary, truth is truth, right? And so... There's no, and listen, so hear what I just said. Truth is truth,
yeah.
right?
And you're not going to get argued out of me. I'm not one of these, my truth crap.
No.
We've had that conversation before
in fact,
about those
people. That came out in front. Janice said something about, is Billy one of those my truth guys?
No,
I'm like,
God, no.
Oh, don't, please never say that around
no,
Billy.
No, hell no.
But truth is objective.
I agree with that.
Okay, so here's what I'm saying. So here we are on two sides of the argument, right? Without divulging into it, but two sides of the argument, but only one thing can be true. And what I'm saying to you is that when you get to a place of objective truth, then this place where we're at right now, where we're on both sides of the argument, but there could only be one truth, this is the liberal side. And they keep pushing the subjective truth. And so therefore, now we divulge into a society that we're living in right now where it's like, hold on a second. All my conservative values that I hold dear in my conservative thought process are now in jeopardy because of this liberal side of me, because these liberal things that I hold true, those maniacs over there have taken it now to the furthest extreme, and now I can't even maintain the part of me that wants to be conservative. And I use abortion, for example, because I'm saying that there's a correlation between killing of babies and the lack of dignity for human life that comes from abortion to where we are right now by saying that, there is no male, there's no female.
Yeah.
There's a pattern that was set. There was a path that was set, that was put in motion when abortion was legalized and said, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an example of how having a liberal mindset on one area can and will impact your conservative side in another area.
Well,
At some point it will.
Get your ducks in a row, because my conservative side is national, is for everybody.
Your conservative side, you do not want anyone in school teaching your kids.
Well, your kids, anything like that.
But you said national, but I'm saying, I'm telling you on a personal level, the conservative side of you, you do not want anyone teaching your kids there's no man and there's no woman.
Yeah.
That's the conservative side of you.
That's a large thing.
What's a large thing?
About kids, whatever, how again, my country's my country, protect the people in our country. That benefits everybody. The right education in schools benefits everybody. My kid being allowed to cuss is only an issue for me, not for anybody else. So that's how I look at it.
I understand. So no, I do see the difference, the economy there. I do understand what you're trying to say, but I was talking in a more broad sense. And
well, that's the thing.
It made it sound. I don't want to come across as me saying that specifically because of profanity. That liberal
No.
Piece.
That's but liberal right. in general.
Right.
Gay marriage, trans stuff. Like it doesn't right. bother me.
I
just leave me alone.
But
with
that's
it.
The problem. They can't. They won't. They will bother you, and because you could be okay with it, and that's the point I'm making to you.
Yeah.
That liberal side of you that says I don't care, just don't bother me, and I'm telling you, they will bother you. They will come after you. Even though you say, hold on a second. I'm okay. I don't care.
Well, no, because we you know talked about this before where you have 25%, 50%, and 70%.
Right.
I am, leave me be, I'm responsible for 50% of my stuff. But the conservative, you're responsible for 25. The
right.
liberal is 75.
Right.
You got to make a choice. I'm going to drop back to the 25 with the conservative. That will be where I will make that
That's your
that
safety
change.
Net to say, but okay.
I'm not a safety net, but that's how I look at it. My personal stuff,
so let's
if
say,
the greater good, quote unquote, will be affected by my personal choice, I will side with the overall greater good as greater good as far as
you would tamp down your liberal
yeah.
your liberal nature
yes.
for the greater good.
It's only my personal life is where it comes into effect.
So this is fascinating, and we will get back to this because I don't even know how we touched on this vein, but it's very good. But I want
to yeah, we'll get to
I want to finish this story about Sarah.
Yes,
because
dating, who cares? Gotcha. You heard you had the therapy session. She was you. And now
okay,
you're back
okay, yeah.
to...
So now yeah. I'm back. Okay. Man, what a rabbit trail.
That's what we do, man.
But it was good because that vein, yeah. I want to go back to it eventually.
That's the point. We're good with this.
So guess what happened?
She went on lunch.
No.
Okay.
A friend is coming into town.
All right.
And
So hold on a second. So her hypothetical before was just asking...
Yes, that's what I tell her.
I thought somebody was here
and
we're not going to talk about it now. Don't worry about it. So it wasn't even an option. It was just
hypothetical,
oh, yeah, listen, not with you. Like, we don't have time for that. Like, bring me real facts.
People are dying in the world. You want to talk to me about hypothetical.
Give me something substantial.
Exactly.
I got you.
Okay.
I got you. So now a lot more clarity. I thought it was like, here's a situation. Someone's in town.
Right.
I'm thinking about going, listen, unless you are or not, we'll
right.
talk then. Until then, leave me alone. This was zero chance it was going to happen.
Well, listen, Den is here.
Okay.
Because a buddy, now this is a friend of hers that, and this is very interesting. They were friends, and then he and I became friends separately.
Okay.
Like he found out that I was Sarah's dad months into our relationship. Okay.
Gotcha.
So I'm just trying to tell you, I like this boy. I like this young man. I think he's a good guy. He comes from a good stock, good family and everything. And I liked him before I even knew anything, right?
Gotcha.
So now we find out we have this mutual relationship. And so now we have a relationship. The three of us have a relationship. In fact, he started coming to our youth group, you know, and he just graduated. So
okay.
now he goes to UF. He's coming back into town.
All right.
So that they want to plan a day when he's back into town. And so she was talking to Janice while they were cooking dinner or whatever. And I'm hearing this. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And when they come to sit down at the table, I say, hey, just so you know, when you go out with him, you know, either Nathan or his sister or Mike is going
to
have to go with you. Someone has to go with you.
Yeah.
That ruined her whole night, man. She couldn't eat. She was just upset. She, you know, didn't even talk to us. You know, she said, you guys make me sick or something to that effect, you know.
Yeah.
And she went to the room. And Janice is looking at me. And it's like, baby, these are the times where you either stand for something or you stand for nothing. And what would I look like all my life? And I'm saying this is the cause that I champion. And then all of a sudden, because she's emotional, I turn my back on her.
I'm with you there. The emotional, like, well, again, my daughter's three.
Right.
I want candy. You know, no. And she freaks out and screams. Well, you're definitely not getting it now. Just because you're screaming and crying doesn't mean you're going to get it. I'm not reinforcing that negative behavior. That's not going to happen.
Right.
Now, again, she's 17.
Right. 18. She's 18.
Okay. Then now, so you had two arrows in your quiver.
Right.
Underage and living at home.
Right.
So you make the rule.
I'm down to one. You're
down to one now. Yeah. Yeah. But it's the biggest one. You
okay.
live in my house. You have
right.
to follow my rules.
Right.
So there, I'm with you.
Okay.
And I'm also with you. One, who am I to be one way forever? No, one way. But when she gets emotional, to back down. I'm with you.
Right.
Now, who am I to be one way my whole life, and the opportunity comes up and I switch my stance, I'm not with you. Well, no, because you didn't get to that point.
Okay, yeah, we can move our flags. Yeah. Now, we already established that we can move our flags.
So that's what I'm saying. You're this way because you're emotional. I'm going to change my mind. No.
Right.
My guess is, and again, I think I know the answer is, if a logical conversation were to be had, still very good chance your flag doesn't move, but you'll be more open to down the road progressing.
Right. I think I'm able. See, here's the thing. Because it's time and distance, right? It's situational. I trust my daughter.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And I think that my biggest thing with women in general is that, and
go for it, man.
Okay. My biggest problem with women in general is that women, my understanding is that they don't really understand how men work.
No, they do not.
And so
they think women and men can be friends.
Exactly.
If they realize that one thing that it cannot happen,
exactly,
then they can go on from there.
Right.
Like we have to talk when I have a debate with somebody.
Right.
I'm going in. You have zero chance to change my mind. You were already behind the eight ball.
Right.
You have no idea. You got zero chance.
Right.
Now that it's been established.
Now let's talk.
Let's talk. Now you know you got to bring your A game.
Right.
And now if you bring your A game, not parroting back nonsense to me.
Right.
I'm open-minded.
Okay.
So if a woman realizes her and him, men and women, cannot be friends.
Right.
Understand that. Then you can go. Then you can explore how things are going to go. And if he even knows that,
right,
up front, heads up, this is it. You and me, movies, we're not whole, like, this is
right,
it. It's
right.
Friends and or bust.
Right.
Then see if he calls the next day.
Okay, so here's what's interesting.
Because listen, religion may be your wheelhouse.
Right.
Men and women relationships.
Right.
Bro.
But, well, so you
I'm feel, second to none.
So
when
you
it comes
feel
to this
for
stuff.
Me when I say that.
Yeah.
Okay, so even though I explicitly trust my daughter, right?
Yes.
I have concerns that she could be a little naive and not understand overtures from guys.
And I would say this too, just based on what you told me.
Right.
She lets emotion get in clog her judgment.
Yes.
Before anything else. Before
exactly.
Before
emotional.
Dad. Right. Listen, hold on a second. You know me. It's me. Before the logical conversation comes.
Right.
It's fly off the handle of emotion. So right there, two strikes. One, guys and girls. I know how guys are. And what people fail to realize, except for men. We were boys once too.
Right.
So we know what happens.
Exactly.
We know how this goes.
Yes.
And secondly, let's say we were going to have an honest conversation. You already showed me you couldn't. You say she's naive.
Right.
And I'm with that 100%.
Right.
She's young. All kids are young. All kids are naive to a certain point.
To a certain degree.
But on top of that, now you're naive. Now you're overly emotional.
Right.
Now that's another separate problem coupled with being naive. Listen, I might have to chain you up in the house because you don't seem to understand the real world is different than what you see on TV. Or as lack of a better term.
My goodness, man. I leave here full. I mean, like my capacity to laugh is
this,
at its maximum.
This
when I
topic,
leave here.
This topic we can talk about for weeks on end.
So, man, so I don't know. So anyway, I think that I know that my flag is probably gonna move on this subject. Not this particular incident, but in general, I think my flag
well, it
is
would have
move,
to be.
Right. But I just know that now is not the time for it to move. And one other caveat I want to throw out there, this particular guy who I love the pieces, right?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, he expressed he had feelings for her.
Okay.
Right? And, you know, she shut him down. You know, like, what's wrong with you? You know my dad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I'm not into dating either. You know what I'm saying? So what's up with that? And to be honest with you, his parents aren't into dating either. So we're cut from the same cloth. But yet, you know, he was bucking the system because he liked my daughter. And, you know, and I don't begrudge him for it. You know, I mean, guys are going to be guys. I was a guy myself. You know, I shoot for the stars, then you back me down, right?
There you go. Yeah.
So so with all that, and now they're both in college. They're both 18, you know. And so now that's where my heartburn comes into play.
This is an old episode. This might even be a preview episode that never even was edited.
Okay.
Was when we had this conversation about Nathan and a friend of his.
Okay, remind me. I don't
this
remember.
Girl, they would hug, they'd hang out.
Oh, yes, yes.
And you told them, like, listen, this isn't going anywhere, so why even be this way?
Right.
The very next day, Nathan shut it down, and they've not, for lack of a better term, they've not seen each other since.
Well, that's too extreme, but the relationship just started to unravel.
It was all the time, hanging out, movies,
right.
Dinner, whatever, normal stuff,
exactly.
But hugging and all, you know, very affectionate.
Right.
Where, you know, things were bad.
Right.
She'd call him, the shoulder to lean on, and he's like, bro, this isn't for you. You're not this person.
Right.
You're not her rock. he laid it out for her, right. for her. And we had the conversation of, man, did I derail the future of a potential relationship?
Right.
Who knows?
Right.
And that was my stance. You don't know what could have happened.
But his, but now in retrospect, looking back at that,
yeah.
seeing what the relationship is now, like how close they were and to how distant they are now, to me, I'm
it,
like.
It was inevitable.
It was inevitable.
Because if,
yeah.
if right. a true connection is there, you find a way. You what is it? Love finds a way
exactly,
or something like
exactly.
that.
They could still maintain a relationship.
Yeah.
Until
you could still be friends.
Time,
and
exactly.
then if it's still there, if you have right. that conversation when they listen, man, I just.
Right.
I feel this way, right. so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he was 16. I mean, at his height, he was 16 years old. And it's yeah. like, hold on.
Yeah, because then she's calling yeah. him like she's having a bad
yeah,
day.
Exactly.
I feel sad. Like,
yeah.
calling me up on the phone for hours at a time.
They had appointment phone conversations.
Yeah.
Like, every Tuesday at this time, you know, and they would be on the phone for
yeah.
hours.
It's like, it's like work. Once you get a job,
right.
you're never going to not work again.
Exactly.
Once you become an emotional rock for a woman, you're going to be that way for any woman you see.
Exactly.
And on a guy's note, they're going to toss you in the friend zone from day one, and you do not want to be there. You want relationship possibilities. And again, I do mean relationship possibilities. No, I'm not talking funny business.
Right.
You want to be relationship material.
I started watching this movie. I had to turn it off. It was so crude.
No, yeah, it was
Ryan Reynolds.
Which one? There's a few of them. The Proposal, Van Wilder.
It was about friendship. Like he was a fat. It starts out.
Oh,
with
it was
very fat.
With Jimmy, I say the name all the time. Jimmy Palomino is a character in there.
Oh, I don't know.
Just Friends.
It's called Just Friends.
Yeah, Just Friends.
Dude, it was
every
so
time someone says pal, I'm like, oh, Jimmy Palomino.
Okay.
He was a fat kid.
Yeah.
And
listen, it was so crude. But
it's a very powerful message in there.
Okay.
For the friend zone.
I couldn't get it. But I thought about that just now when you brought it up about being friends. Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, not only when you get put in the friend zone.
Right.
When the guy, you know, he's the chunky kid, acne, when he becomes a 10 and the woman realizes it, then he has a vendetta against you. So
right.
you got to pay attention to that too. Guys are emotionally immature behind a woman by a few years.
Yes.
So when you get your head right, we're still back here kicking dirt, pulling your pigtails. I don't like you. You know, that's what guys do. And we're a little bit behind the curb there. So when it comes to, again, so when a dad tells his daughter, listen, calm it down, we're saying it for a reason.
Right.
We've done this before.
Right.
Oh, so that was a good one, man.
That was good.
So we'll get through the weekend. We'll get this edited out, put it out next week, and we'll come back to being a liberal conservative and more relationship talk next time on Neighborly Discourse with Billy and Steve.
Peace.